broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I'm John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. We're going to continue discussing a little bit about some spring football here in just a bit. And we'll also get to Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette around 7:45. Talk to him about the baseball, basketball, football, all that good stuff. Because, you know, the football team's off spring break, so now we got spring practice kicking back up.
Yeah, we'll get back after it a little bit. So
Yes. And maybe, as we've talked about, the excitement will start to build a little more.
I think it will. I'm almost certain it will. You know?
Yeah.
I just don't know how. What is the
can't
peak?
Go worse.
What is the peak for the excitement for spring football? I just don't think it's going to be. I just don't see it reaching the heights that it's reached in previous seasons, because you don't have, as Nick's pointed out, you don't have that quarterback, that wide receiver, that running back coming back. Chad Moore's, for all the excitement around him, for whatever reason, I don't know if people are just have lost their trust or lost their faith in the. I don't know. But there just doesn't seem to be the excitement around Chad Morris as there was a brand new Brett Bielema. And I don't know if it's because the fans are just burnt, you know, tired of being lied to, as they feel like.
You know,
it happened.
I feel like that probably.
Fans have been ripped off, and they're tired of being ripped off.
That is probably one of the biggest and main reasons why I feel like there's no excitement, just because they got burned out. I completely agree. I feel like the way that the past few years have gone, where you've heard Brett Bielema talk about, I specifically remember in 2016, him talking about, this is the deepest, most quality defensive line I've ever had as a coach. And what happened? Nothing. They couldn't get to the quarterback. They couldn't stop. They couldn't do anything. So, and that's just one of many examples that happened. And I agree, because when Chad Morris comes out here, and it's not anyone's fault. I mean, it's not his fault for sure. But when he comes out here and if he says, I really like this player, or I really like this unit, I really like what this is going on and how this unit is doing this, that, and the other, people are going to be like, okay, well, let's see it first before we start buying into what you're trying to sell us.
And this is no fault of Chad Morris.
Exactly. And it's not his fault. It's just that's where they're at right now.
There's some fans that are still disgusted, and I totally get this, and I quite frankly agree with you, that you're paying $25 million for ADs and coaches that don't work here, you know, not quite. It cost you $25 million to make this transition. You 11 plus million out to Bielema, potentially $4 million or so out there. It's 15 plus. You've had to spend 10 to get the new staff in here. This transition cost you about $25 million. I think there's a lot of fans that are a little fed up with that right now.
Yep. And now that you see the culture change going on with a new athletic director and a new head football coach, and it's one of those cautiously optimistic wait-and-see mentalities that fans have, especially at this point in time. It's spring football, let's be honest. When it gets to the fall camp, the excitement will really start to rev up. But to add to the fact that it's spring football, too, where you know no one knows who the starting quarterback's going to be. We feel like it's going to be Cole Kelly, but we don't know for sure. I don't think Chad Morris and his staff is yet to determine who the starting quarterback's going to be at this point. We don't know what we don't know who's going to be starting all on the offensive line. We don't, like, that's another element too. We don't know who's starting where and what. We do know who's going to play. We know that Chase Hayden's going to get some carries, or TJ Hammonds, or Devwall. We know that they're going to play, but we don't know who's going to be the main guys. We don't know who's going to be out there getting these starting positions, making the biggest impact on the team, because frankly, the ones that they did have are all gone from last season. And with the things that Chad Morris has been saying and coming in with a whole new philosophy, whole new offensive mentality, it's also opening up the doors to where people are asking, okay, who's going to do this? And he's like, I don't know yet. I'll decide it once we get closer to fall camp, which right. I think is the right way to do it.
And, well, there are a lot of programs out there that say the same thing. The difference is whenever you're saying that, you go back and look at, okay, well, who's the head coach? Let's look at his track record. Well, Chad Morris has not done anything in a major conference as far as being the head coach.
Right.
There's a huge difference from being the coordinator at Clemson or the head coach at SMU and being the head coach of a program in the SEC. And so then whenever fans go back and say, okay, well, we don't know any of this. Well, let's go look at our head coach. Well, we don't know about him either. Like, I'm as unsure about Chad Morris as I am about the Razorback football team. It has nothing to do with, I think Chase Hayden is going to be fine. I think TJ Hammonds is going to be good. I think Agim is going to be. I mean, there are a lot of guys that I think are going to be good. I think Chad Morris is, but I really don't know. And there's not a lot that I can put my finger on with Chad Morris to say, okay, he's for sure going to be a good head coach at the University of Arkansas. We're just guessing. Just like there's not a lot I can put my finger on about the players and say, okay, well, this guy's for sure going to be able to get Arkansas over the hump. And that's the biggest difference, whereas in other programs, like if Clemson could lose everybody. Alabama could lose everybody. Auburn could lose everybody. But then you just go back to, well, the head coach, Nick Saban, he's going to figure out. Or Dabo Swinney, he'll figure it out. Urban Meyer, they'll figure it out. Whereas in this case, whenever you don't have a lot or you're unsure about the players, you're not going to say, oh, well, it's okay. It's Chad Morris. He's going to figure it out because we just don't know.
Yeah, and then I think going the opposite way from what they went with Brett Bielema, I can think it plays out both ways. If you get an established head coach at a Power 5 program to come into your program, like Brett Bielema was at Wisconsin coming into Arkansas, there's that added excitement. But obviously it didn't work out. But there's also something to be said for a coach like a Chad Morris, which I'm not saying every coach in his situation is like this, but having that hunger, having that chance to prove yourself where you're trying to get out there and say, hey, I haven't proved anything yet. I'm not a great head coach as far as the standards I have in a resume, so I got to prove myself to do it. There's something to be said about that, because if you think about some of the best head coaches that you can say in basketball too, that Arkansas has hired, it was always guys that just were hungry to prove themselves in a lot of cases. Now, some of them were like Bobby Petrino was established, and he ended up being okay. But you also got a guy like a Nolan Richardson that came in with that mentality trying to prove himself. You know, you have those guys. And so if Chad Morris can just have that chip on his shoulder and drive that and motivate it, that's exactly what Arkansas is going to need, and that's exactly what people will buy into here in this state, is a guy who embraces that mentality.
The only issue with, and I agree with everything you just said, the only issue with what you just said, so there are two sides of that coin. He's going to prove himself, go out there and do great, or he's not going to do very well.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's one or two.
Either way, he's not your coach in 5 years. And that may be the biggest issue. I don't agree with you there.
Well, you're saying that if he's successful, then he'll move on.
Yeah, if he's successful, he'll move on.
He's not.
I don't think Arkansas is in a position that after 5 years, unless it's just like 2-3 and 4-win seasons consecutively.
Okay.
I think if you're winning 6+ enough times, Arkansas is in no position as a program
and as a university
right now to make a lot of rash changes again and have more instability. Well, I mean, not even financially. I just think you've got to have stability. I think financially they can do whatever they want up there. But I just don't think – I think he's your coach for 6 to 8 years unless non-bowl seasons keep stacking up in a row.
And let's look at it from –
just like you said – I didn't mean to cut you off. Just like you said, if Bielema wins 6 games, he's staying – I think that's kind of still that, you know, you can't go 6-6, 6-6, 6-6, 6-6 3 years in a row, but I don't think they're going to run him out, you know, after 4 bad seasons.
I think the biggest percentages, though, are towards he either won't be your coach or you won't want him to be your coach anymore, because if you're just winning 6 games, or then if you sprinkle in, okay, if you go 6-6 and maybe you can win 8 and then you're going back to 6, there's that. So with him having something to prove, like this job right now is, what, the top end of tier 3? Like, if you're looking at tiers and there are 4 tiers, or how many ever tiers? It's not upper echelon.
Nope.
And even that next tier, when you're talking about, because at the end of the day, like, Bielema may not be able to get hired again because of how bad he performed here. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think people and their agents are taking into mind, yeah, okay, I can go get a raise. Yeah, but do you want to work for 5 more years and then that may be it at a major university? Or would you rather go take a program that has that has had a better history and basically has it's easier to recruit to a certain place. So, hey, I hope he does well. I hope he does great. But I think we're looking at percentages towards there's going to be a big percentage towards either you're not going to want him to be your coach in 5 years, or in 5 years he's doing a lot of these things that everybody talks about. Mm-hmm. He's a great football mind. He's great at this, great at that, and he moves on because this isn't his job. Like, oh, I'm coming to Arkansas to stay forever.
He has the success that moves him on and propels him in 5 years. The job will be set up for the next up-and-comer that will want this job. There's always going to be plenty of people out there that want a job that'll pay you $3, $4, $5 million.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I go back to here's the thing with Arkansas and how interesting and unique of a program it is. The only coach that I can think of, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, the only coach I can think of from the major programs at Arkansas that left for a better job is Eddie Sutton when he went to Kentucky. All the other coaches are either fired, because obviously they didn't perform well, but they stay. Really? I mean, because I don't know if, and again, I don't know if Chad Morse is going to have this mentality, but I'm just saying Bobby Petrino would still be the head coach today if he.
Maybe.
He was getting interest from Florida, and he signed that contract where his buyout was $18 million. He wasn't going anywhere. And I'm just saying that Arkansas has had coaches who have done really well. Nolan Richardson didn't even leave the city after getting fired. Now, that could be for other reasons, but I'm saying that these coaches, if they have success at Arkansas, most of them like it here. They have the financial stability to stay, so why not stay?
But, like, who's had success, though, enough to where somebody else wants you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, mm-hmm. and which I hear what you're saying, but who has –
I mean, there was people looking at I don't like the guy, but Houston Nutt even got interest from Nebraska and LSU there for.
Well, he left to go to Ole Miss when he. I mean, I know he was.
Yeah,
whatever you want to call that. Yeah. For quitting. You know, he got fired. Quit whatever happened there. But the next day, he was the head coach at Ole Miss.
Yeah,
you know, one of your conference foes. So, is that a better job, worse job? I don't know. It's probably close to even par, you know, with a Razorback job.
Yeah, but I mean, but what I was saying is, like, Nebraska, when they wanted him back in 2004 and it looked like it was legitimate, I mean, Nebraska was a better program.
When they were playing here, waiting on him?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was happening. So there's been times where coaches have had chances to leave for better programs.
LSU showed some interest in him when they hired Les Miles.
And apparently, if you ask him, the Dallas Cowboys did too, you know, saying that he doesn't have any interest in that job. But my point is that if they have success at Arkansas, other than maybe the tough recruiting grounds that they have with the in-state talent, they have the facilities, they have the money, they have the support, they get all the things that you can get at a big program. I'm not saying he wouldn't leave, but I'm saying that it's not like this is a stepping stone type of program in a lot of cases either.
Man, maybe. I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't think if he has major success and better programs are coming calling, then he's for sure gonna leave. That's just my opinion. Yeah.
He's gotta get there first.
We got
the cart miles in front of the horse.
And I hope he does get there, because I see this playing out one or two. I see it either that, or I see people are not wanting him to be the coach anymore. Like, I don't see anything in between those two.
Yeah. No, and I get what you're saying, but like Tommy said too, it's like that's way down the road. We gotta wait on that before anything plays out. This is a Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV in Alma.
Yeah, exit 13 off of I-40. Plenty of inventory when it comes to used travel trailers, fifth wheels, motor coaches. They took in a lot of great trades during their recent RV show. So be sure and stop in and see them, as they've got the RV right now at a fraction of the original MSRP. It's all at Crabtree RV in Alma. Exit 13 off of I-40, where your family's dreams come true.
All right, welcome back to the Morning Rush on a Hot Take Monday, presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, exit 13 off of I-40, next door to the Cracker Barrel. You've driven by it 1,000 times. Next time, stop in when you're through Alma and check out everything that's going on at Crabtree RV in Alma. If your travel trailer, fifth wheel, motor coach is ready for spring, but you need those one or two parts, or you didn't winterize something right, now you got a leak, or you just need a little bit of service work. Maybe you need it cleaned up in detail. But if you're looking for work to be done on your motor coach, your travel trailer, your fifth wheel, they are there for you at Crabtree RV in Alma. Now is the time to get it done. The perfect spring weather is on the way, so be sure and stop in and see them at Crabtree RV in Alma and find out all the details online at crabtreerv.com.
Speaking of hot takes, let's go to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Gentle Ben has been patiently waiting. What's going on, Gentle Ben?
Hang on.
You're there, Gentle Ben.
All right. Yeah, am I here now?
You're here now. What's up?
Am I there now? I'm so okay. Hey, I did want to ask y'all a question. I know it's going to sound like I'm complaining, whining, or whatever, but I've been on hold 37 minutes, and I just wanted to ask y'all an honest question, and I am being scammed, but I can handle it. Have y'all had a lot of listeners calling in saying that I'm not a good caller, or they complained about y'all taking my calls or anything, and maybe I should just retire from calling your show or whatever? I can take it if that's the situation.
No, So here's the thing. You have your own topic, and so if it's a topic that we're currently talking about, you normally bring up a different topic, which is fine. But if it's in the middle of a conversation, you can't derail the conversation with the topic. So you continue to call and have your own topic, and that's fine. And now we're in a longer segment. So just like this conversation, it wasn't going to fit in any of those other segments.
Okay, well, that's good. Sometimes I can just call you now and tell you what I'm going to talk about, or I can switch topics because I know enough about sports that I can just blend in. And y'all talked about so many interesting ones. I've jotted them down here. I thought, man, what am I going to talk about? But since it is NCAA time.
I can't wait to find out. Yeah.
I mean, NCAA tournament, would that fit right now?
Yes, I would.
All right, good.
Yeah.
And the most, I know. I've taken a lot of time. My time's up already. I appreciate you letting me talk on. But anyway, here it is. I'll try to make it short. God forms miracles. I'll show you, prove that he does. Make it short. The UALR, two UALR Trojan coaches make it to the Elite Eight. One of them makes it to the Final Four, or if you want to call them Little Rock Trojans like they like now, that's fine. But anyway, either way, I was real super proud of that because living in Central Arkansas all my life for 66 years, I was real proud of that in the past our athletic directors have been intelligent enough to hire coaches that we knew were on their way up and using ULR as a step stone. But two of them make it to the Elite Eight, one of them make it to the Final Four, one of them might make it to the championship game, not likely, possible, but not probable. but I was real proud of that. But can I mention, do I have time to mention anything else or no?
Yeah, go ahead. This is your segment.
All right. You mentioned interest in football, and that's my favorite sport, college football, why there's not so much interest in, in the spring red-white game. One is lots of fans are real intelligent. They know it's going to take 2 or 3 years for our new coach to get in the speed and the type players that have the endurance enough to play that hurry-up, no-huddle offense, plus especially the defense, because a lot of the SEC teams play that hurry-up, no-huddle offense, and defense may be on the field a long time, and all we can hope for is maybe 3 or 4 stops a game. It'll be just like Bobby Petrino. The defense will probably give up a lot of points at their very best, but they can make enough stops for us to score enough to win in year 3, 4, and 5. You know, that's just kind of the way I see it, and that's why the interest is kind of down a little bit. I would take 6-6 right now next year because if you check back real fast, all right, Lou Holtz and Houston Nutt have been the only two coaches since Frank Broyles took over that have had a winning record their first season at Arkansas. All the rest of them had losing seasons and maybe did better after their first season. So a lot of people are not looking at a whole bunch of wins next season. But they can be interested in the fact that it's going to be an exciting offense. I know I got to go.
All right. Appreciate it, General Ben.
Well, I mean, can he get off to the right foot? There's a lot going on there. But he brings up an interesting point about a winning record in the first year. I don't think the cupboard's full enough to come in here and win right away. One thing Danny Ford did for Houston Nutt is there were athletes.
Set him up. Yeah.
It was set up. Now, there's a lot of players that have been on this team. There are a lot of players with college experience. It's just not been good experience.
Right.
There's a lot of players returning from a 4-win team.
But on the other side of it, too, I know it's still difficult because you play in the SEC, but this might be one of the more favorable schedules that Arkansas has had in quite some time, where your big non-conference game is going to Colorado State, which looks like they may have just lost their starting quarterback. I don't know if we've made mention of that due to injury. So you have that going on in your second game, and your East opponent that you've added is Vanderbilt. You're not having to go to South Carolina or anything like that. You have Vanderbilt at home And you know Ole Miss is going to be down. You have them in Little Rock. You still have Bama and LSU in Fayetteville, which, you know, I mean, but at the same time, we know Alabama's going to be good. We don't know what LSU's going to look like with Ed Orgeron. You know, they've had their own issues. Then Texas A&M, they're going to have a new look. Maybe this will finally be the year. So, I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs, and I don't think you should go out there expecting 8 wins, but the schedule's at least a little more forgiving for Chad Morris in his first year than, say, well, not making excuses, but Brett Bielema definitely had a pretty tough road the first couple of seasons with some of the non-conference games that he had to deal with and the conference games. So it may work out for him, all right.
This is definitely going to test his coaching ability, especially here early on in the first couple of years because he's switching styles. I know he doesn't quite have the guys that he would recruit. And the biggest question mark on any of these positions, I think, honestly, even more of a question mark than an offensive line or a defensive line, or is the quarterback spot. And the most important guy to Chad Morris and probably 350 other college football coaches out there is the quarterback spot. So this is definitely going to be the year where if he's able, and this is my, if he's able to win 7 games with this team, or if he's able to really, and even if he's able to make it to a bowl game, I think he gets applauded for that. And anything, and if you're winning 7 or 8, and I'm not even going to mention the number after 8 or any numbers after 8 because I don't think that's realistic at all. But if he's able to win 7 or more with just the situation that he's been dropped into, then I would be very, very surprised. And I think that the excitement for next year around this time will be double, triple, quadruple of the excitement right now because everybody out there knows the roster and they're showing it by not showing up to these things and not having a lot of excitement. You go out there and win 7 games with this roster, or you go out there and make a bowl game with this roster, those unrealistic expectations will come pouring in year 2.
I think what's also going against Chad Morris at this point in time is, you know, if you look back to some of the first-year coaches and what they had to deal with, I think Brett Bielema had a lot of talent for the fact that he went 3-9 in his first year. I think that that year was a little disappointing just because of the amount of NFL talent he had. Bobby Petrino in his first year, he didn't have really anybody, but what he did have was a great freshman class. So you had the Joe Adams, Jerry's Wrights, all those guys that at least gave some promise. Chad Morris doesn't have the NFL talent and doesn't have the great freshman recruiting class. So he has nothing of that going for him. So they're going to have to rely on maybe finding some guys with some diamonds in the rough that maybe Brett Bielema overlooked or didn't utilize, or maybe a true freshman can come in there, which I think is possible. There may be a few players on this team that Brett Bielema overlooked or didn't play for whatever reason that might be able to be successful under Chad Morris. I think that's a realistic thing.
I can agree with that, but even going back to the Petrino, and I'll have to look up that roster again, even though he had one of the better All-Arkansas classes of all time, those guys weren't contributing year 1. I mean,
the receivers were, but
they
didn't
were
have
out
much
there.
To do.
Yeah, that saved a game for you as a freshman in Little Rock.
So my whole thing about that is, though, and I'll have to go back and look at the roster to just tell, but I don't know if the talent level as far as next year goes, I don't know if there will be a big discrepancy between what Bobby had his first year and what Chad Morris is going to have this year.
Yeah, you at least had the upside, I guess, is the biggest thing. So you had that. But, you know, if Chad Morris goes in, and like you said, Nick, if he found a way to win 7 games, I think the excitement's definitely there, which is funny to say that going 7-5 is an exciting thing. But given all the things that are going on, I feel like it would just make sense. But I don't think going 3-9 is, you can't do something like that. You can't go 4-8. Because that would really just kill any type of momentum or excitement that you could have had at that point in time. I mean, you don't have, because at least with Brett Bielema, you're still coming off the highs of the Bobby Petrino era. But if Chad Morris goes in and it's nothing, it won't be, I'm not going to throw a bunch of blame at him because, let's be honest, he just has to play with the cards he was dealt. But it's not going to make anyone feel better. It's not going to get everyone amped for next year. But going 6-6, 7-5, getting some momentum, depending on what they do in the 2019 recruiting class, that at least might be enough to kind of push everything forward. So I think that's the main thing that we got to take into consideration. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. And we are continuing the Morning Rush. It's all brought to you in part by Oaklawn.
Yeah, Arkansas residents can download the Oaklawn Anywhere app in the App Store for free right now. You can enjoy the last few weeks here at Oaklawn on your iPhone or your iPad. You can watch and wager on all the races. Use the code APP, A-P-P, and earn a $150 bonus. Visit oaklawnanywhere.com for more details. Oaklawn, Arkansas's favorite place to play and only minutes away.
Coming up next, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Stay tuned. This is the Morning Rush.
No spin, no agenda, just the most honest sports talk in Arkansas. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in and appreciate Sassy's Red House. Since the weather is starting to turn a little bit, it's going to be a little rainy this week, but that's okay, as Sassy's Red House is your place to watch any sporting event with the Final Four coming up. You also got Razorback Baseball. You got the Masters that's going to be coming up as well here soon, which is, I know, my favorite time of the year dealing with sporting events. Make sure to go over to Sassy's and try out any of their famous made barbecue. You can also head out on the patio for a great time and a great atmosphere, especially when the weather is nice. There's nothing better than hanging out at Sassy's patio and taking care of business there with all your friends and get barbecue on anything that you could possibly want. And they have two locations in Fayetteville off of College and Weddington, so make sure to stop by Sassy's for all of your barbecue needs. Let's go to the phone lines as we welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. Let's kick it off with the Razorback baseball team. Had a series against Florida. It was a big one. They took care of business first game, got blown out second game, couldn't close it out in the rubber matchup in game three. Just your overall reaction from that series, and what did you make about Arkansas's performance in those three games?
Yeah, well, from the big perspective, the 1,000-foot perspective, I think losing a series 2-1 there doesn't hurt them as bad as it would have been great if they had won 2 out of 3. Meaning, you know, they're not going to take a huge RPI hit and all that, but if they had won it, imagine, you know, you probably would have gotten ahead of Florida in the rankings and heading into your next top 10 opponent. But they blew it from driving men in. I mean, they went 4 of 37 with men in scoring position in the series, and that's pitiful. It's a 108 average, I think. And I know at least one of those hits was an infield single by Jax Biggers, so the man on second didn't score. So they blew a lot of opportunities, did not have productive outs in a lot of situations, and they're going to be shaking their heads about that one for a while. And look, it doesn't get any easier. Memphis is tough. They played Ole Miss a tough game. And Ole Miss is 22-3 and just won a series at A&M. So they've got to get a couple things figured out on their pitching, the Razorbacks do, before they head into the weekend.
Arkansas's been top five in just about every poll the last couple of weeks after the win over Kentucky in the home series, you know, and then compete well at Florida. The point to this is, Tom, that Arkansas's not missing parts or pieces. They don't need to go out and have two or three recruiting classes to fill in some holes. Arkansas has what they need to compete at the highest level. I think if nothing else, the way this weekend went at Florida, they've proved that they do belong in the top five.
Well, I mean, I agree that they are capable of being a top five team. There's a few things they've got to work out. The hitting with men in scoring position was awful. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that springs from, but I think sometimes when you start to struggle in that department, it gets a little bit mental. And then they're gonna drop in the rankings. I mean, because you had the Charlotte loss in there, and they went 1-3, so they're probably gonna go down around 12 or 15 or something for the coming week. But with Isaiah Campbell's start lasting just an inning plus, and really getting battered around and just walking too many guys, I know that Dave Van Horn played a strong mental game with Isaiah heading into the Kentucky series and got a great performance out of him. It's just that he's a little bit uneven. And you look at Casey Murphy, and he's very, very steady, as the TV guys pointed out yesterday. So do you consider putting Murphy into the Saturday spot and then trying a Bryce Bonin or a Caleb Bolden or something like that for Sunday? I don't know. Or maybe you give Isaiah Campbell one more Sunday start. So he certainly has pitched better at home than on the road, but they've got to get some issues figured out with that pitching staff.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, the Final Four has been set, and you got teams like Loyola Chicago and Michigan, which are, especially Loyola Chicago, didn't expect them to get in. And then you also have Villanova and Kansas on the other side. What do you feel about David versus Goliath or Blue Blood programs? What would you rather see in the championship game, or at least winning the title game? Do you want to see a Blue Blood, or do you enjoy seeing the Cinderella stories like Loyola Chicago go in and win it?
Oh, I'm all in for Loyola. I love the story and the sister and Porter Moser doing it, the guy who coached Little Rock, is outstanding. Yeah. Think about Michigan for a second. Houston had them beat. The guy who, I can't remember his name, but he had been making a bunch of free throws, and in his last four, he went 1 of 2 from the line and then 0 of 2 and could have sealed the game. And Michigan hits the miracle three-pointer to win. So, and here they are now, a game away from playing in the championship. On the other side, I was so saddened to see Duke lose in excruciating fashion yesterday.
I'm sure. I can hear the concern in your voice. Yeah.
And Grayson Allen not being the hero at the end like he wanted to be, that hurt.
Yeah.
So, no, I was for Kansas there, and I would pull for Kansas against Villanova. But I do think the door has opened for a team like Villanova that played horribly and won to play a better game. They're a great defensive team. They're hard to guard because all their guys are agile and kind of interchangeable parts with that team. So I would think that Villanova's got the best shot to win it all.
Hey, real quick, got about 30 seconds. Football team back at the practice field this week. What do you think needs to be accomplished as a return from spring break, heading closer to that spring game?
Well, get back in shape really quick, from 10 days off. But they've just got to be able to learn to play faster on offense, and that's the big thing. They've only got 8 more workouts left, and they got to figure out some positions. Got to get better at quarterback.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you joining us, Tom. Great stuff. We'll catch up with you on Thursday, my man.
All right, man. Take care. See y'all.
Yeah, see you later. Wow, 2 hours have just flown by. It's incredible. We're at this point. But, hey, that's what happens when you're having fun on this Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV. We're going to keep it going, and we want your hot takes. 877-377-6963. Call it in.
The Morning Rush.